Western Kansas News. Colby Van Camp and Adam Kadavy sitting here with Stan Weber, a Kansas State legend in your own right, and probably, as my dad likes to say, the smartest broadcaster he's ever listened to. So I love listening to your stuff, man. It's just so great.
Well, thank
great.
You so much. And thanks to your dad, because yeah. I know he's listened a while. So
he has.
That's a good data set right there.
For a long
no,
time.
No, it's so much fun to talk about K-State football, and I appreciate all the fans who get a chance to listen.
Yeah. You're in your 38th year broadcasting for Kansas State. How does it feel to just take it all in?
First of all, it's a privilege. I never take it for granted. Lucky enough through COVID and all the things that could happen that I've done 455 straight games. So it's pretty amazing that you see so many. I was talking to Austin Moore, for instance, and we were having a conversation, and I could compare notes of things that I knew from when I played throughout the whole history of K-State that he's living out. And K-State's successful because of a humble, hardworking attitude that guys like Austin Moore are leading. And we just, I said, you know it. You've won a Big 12 championship. You've had success. You've won nine games in a row in a couple seasons, all those kind of things. You know what works, but don't ever doubt it. And teach the younger kids, because I have been here long enough to see all the iterations of college football changing and different styles, different conferences, all these different things. But it still works. The K-State way of playing humbly and hard and together. For instance, K-State's preseason prediction is second in the conference out of 16 teams, but no K-State player individually is on the first team. Well, there you go. It's not about just what one individual does. It's how you stick together and play hard together. And it was just so awesome to be talking to a six-year senior, Austin Moore. He understands how this works. But we could have finished each other's sentences. I mean, I've been around this so long. It's so much fun to, again, live through another generations of guys. I get older. They stay the same. But the core of what football is about, doesn't matter if they're getting paid. Doesn't matter if they have transfer portal. None of that matters. If you come together and play hard the way the K-State fans expect, you are going to have success.
I'm going to start with this, and we posed this question to Wyatt as well, but I want to get your very unique perspective on it. And it's, you just come off the Shrine Bowl. Some great players at the Shrine Bowl. And now Kansas is becoming this nationally relevant state for recruits. And Kansas State fans have been saying, well, duh, we've known that for years. But now the rest of the nation is starting to come in. Alabama's starting to cherry pick guys. Oregon's starting to cherry pick guys. Penn State. They're all starting to say, oh, these farm guys in Kansas know what's up. What is it about Kansas and just the attitude of the people that are here and the work ethic that they grow up around that makes them so special, not just in football, but as athletes in the state of Kansas?
Well, it goes back to almost what I was talking about before in the continuation, because these kids have something magical that every team is looking for. You don't have athletic ability and not be seen around the country. So that is a given. If you have athletic ability, you're going to be seen. But what intangibles do you bring? What work ethic do you bring? How distracted are you going to be by so many distractions? You're a high school kid, and right now when you're being recruited, there are so many things coming at you. Everything's so public. Everyone's tweeting about what they think about you. Fans are hoping that you'll come to their school. You got all these things. And, oh, by the way, what am I supposed to think about as far as compensation? Like, should I be worried about that right now? Used to have plenty of things to worry about leaving home and deciding where you're going to go to school, what your major is going to be, but times it times 20 right now. So how do you sort out what's important and what's not? Kansans have the capability mentally to figure that out and stay focused on the thing that's at hand. And our level of football around the state is picking up, and basketball, but let's talk football right now. There's a higher expectation of what Avery Johnson is going to do. I've seen it grow. I talk about college football. So many core things are the same. High school football, the difference in the capability of throwing the football and catching used to be what? Texas schools played 7-on-7 in the spring, or they had spring ball. Their quarterbacks were NFL ready. Well, guess what? Kansas kids are now allowed. A high school can go play against another high school. Physical, you can actually tackle and play some football. They're allowing that. But these 7-on-7 leagues and the capability to go out and throw has made all the difference in the world. Our athletes are ready for prime time. And you're seeing the level of high school football pick up. The Shrine Bowl was incredible. Did you see touchdown passes? These guys have only been together for 5 days. I don't know how much people monitor the Shrine Bowl,
They were only together 5 days, and they had efficient, effective passing games. Are you kidding me? That never would have happened 25 years ago. So the whole mentality, one kid does it, another kid says, why can't I do it? I just think the quarterback play, the wide receiver play, the skill position play, and the lineman saying, I'm not going to just be 220 pounds. Like, I am going to lift and work out and eat the right food to be bigger. So we athletically are getting way better, but the key is the mentality. That is magical to come in and do the things. And look, KU's starting to get the benefit of it with the way they're playing. K-State has it. Oklahoma State's been around this area and kind of playing off the same type of thing. And it's, I'm so proud to be around the Shrine Bowl, Kansas high school football, K-State football, because we really are doing it the right way. And there are more distractions for these kids. Guess who's less distracted? The kids who grew up in Kansas. Mm-hmm. We are focused on the right things, and we're seeing it.
Yeah, there's a special mentality as for agriculturally based people as well. I'm from a long line of farmers. I would die on a tractor. I couldn't farm if my life depended on it. But living in southwestern Kansas now, and seeing just the way that people carry themselves and they talk about the things that matter to them, it's huge, and it's all the difference in the world, and it's that mental game over the physical things and the mentalities that you have to move forward.
But physically, they test themselves. Like, how many kids don't test themselves now? I'm really good at video games. Well, good. Your thumb works well, and you can text good. But now, how many people get out there and physically keep their body up? And you don't have to be the greatest athlete in the world. You just got to be part of the family, right? And everybody has a physicality. Well, how does that portray it in football? These soft kids who don't do anything but say, I'm going to be great at football because I lifted some weights, compared to that to actually doing work that matters, that uses all muscles in your body, distracts you, because guess what? An hour workout's pretty hard for a kid in the city, but out in the country where you're working, you might work for 5 straight hours and not even realize it and have the best workout you could possibly imagine. I was involved with a bunch of feedlots in southwest Kansas, so I know a lot of the people out there, not just because I grew up in an agricultural area outside of Wichita, not because I went to K-State. Even as a grown-up in the work world, I worked with people who were in southwest Kansas. So, you know, those things mean so much. And as far as listeners, people may not realize this. Out of my 37 years that I broadcast so far, and I'm getting ready for 38, my first 9 were with Mitch Holthus, yes, who, as we sit here in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, you think about Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, but think about Smith Centers and K-State's Mitch Holthus doing the game for the second straight year. You hear the highlights all the time, Super Bowl, long-term. I think he's the longest tenured play-by-play voice in Kansas City Chiefs history. My first 9 years were with him. Wow. And why that's relevant is he, first of all, had to teach me because I had no training. But secondly, he would tell me about how important it was that in the fall, the farmers were listening to us. Yep. And when I first started, K-State wasn't winning games. I did 2 seasons before Bill Snyder got there. And so we weren't always winning. But Mitch would say, there are so many people counting us, wanting to know everything that's going on and to have their day go by faster listening to K-State football. So based on what your dad said, maybe it's still true that people are busy and out there working and getting their farms up to speed and also hopefully taking in some K-State football on radio. I never forget what Mitch told me because I didn't grow up all the way out in western Kansas. He's like, man, there are hunters, there are farmers, and they want to hear us broadcast. We got to bring it today.
Yeah. And that's Garden City and Scott City, you know, that's just it right there.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit to conference, Big 12 Football Conference Media Days. You're an old Big A guy, played in the Big A. It's sad to not see Oklahoma here in a way, but it's also exciting to see Colorado back into the conference with K-State.
No doubt. I mean, the traditions are something that we can't just hang on completely. Change is fine. And we're a surviving conference. So it's a day of celebration here in Las Vegas because the Pac-12 is no longer a viable conference, okay? Mm-hmm. And people said 10-plus years ago, oh, the Big 12 might be in trouble. Well, Oklahoma and Texas aren't here. You may not have scripted it that way. Yeah. I shouldn't script Nebraska and Missouri not being here in Colorado for a while. But to see that our conference is now a part of the Power Four, that we can grab onto and say, I'm ready for the future. I can accept change. But that doesn't mean we don't value and love the opportunities to have regional rivals and teams that were a part of the Big Eight. So, yes,
we say, hey, there's four new schools. To me, it doesn't seem like there's four new schools. It's like, welcome back, Colorado. And I know for listeners out there in Western Kansas, you know Colorado fans. It's right there. And some people are more likely to be able to head out and whisk over and go to Boulder and watch a game with K-State playing there than they are making it all the way back to Manhattan. And so, yeah, I'm really excited. Not because, you know, because Deion Sanders. Yeah. That's why you're excited, because he turned college football upside down last year. And I go, yeah, not really. No. They're part of the original Big Eight. So I value, we are so lucky. Think about this, KU versus K-State, how cool that is. It's great to have a rival. Mm-hmm. It's great to have a state rival. And you say, well, you know, what the heck? Why wouldn't we have that? Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are not in the same conference starting right now. That close to us. That's how it can happen. So I value so much that we got KU and K-State together. I have more appreciation for playing Oklahoma State and Iowa State than I probably did before because there aren't very many teams left in these 16. I think there's only six that were even legacy Big 12 teams.
That's true.
So I do value those. I'm old enough to say Colorado versus K-State, there's so many great memories.
You know, and I think of the newcomers, we mentioned Colorado, but Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, and maybe particularly Utah, I think they just feel like natural fits in the Big 12.
They do, because when we were talking about what's going to happen with conferences 10 years ago, I didn't think that you could project, oh, the Pac-12 is going to go away. But I thought Arizona and Arizona State were kind of newcomers to the central part of that conference, which was USC and UCLA. Washington with that, you know, in Seattle. And in Oregon, with the money and things that changed with Nike and Phil Knight, you had to give them a lot of credibility. But Arizona and Arizona State, to me, were always possibilities to be just as likely to be with Texas Tech and come into our conference. You know, that didn't surprise me. Now, Utah probably wouldn't have thought of it, but the way they play football, that's a Big 12 team right there.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, if you change – one of the big games coming up early in the season is Utah at Oklahoma State. Now, if these teams changed uniforms and went and played a game outside of this Stillwater and you said, let's go to a neutral site, I'm not sure people would even recognize that they changed because Utah plays football like Oklahoma State, like K-State. They transitioned so well from the WAC right into the Pac-12 and won the conference. Everyone says it takes a while to transition. I don't expect them to have that transition. Their head coach just said he's in his 20th year, and this is his fourth conference he's getting ready.
Wow.
So this is no big deal for Utah. So Utah, Oklahoma State, K-State, and now with the way KU's playing ball, that is the style of football that's going to win in this conference. Yeah. So, yeah, get ready. It seems like Utah should be a part of this conference just because of the style of play and how good they are. Mm-hmm. They come in as a favorite.
Absolutely.
With the conference realignment, and you look at Kansas State's schedule within that conference realignment, what's something specifically that you're looking forward to in the matchups that Kansas State has this coming season?
It reminds me of an NFL schedule. It's not balanced at all. 16 teams, and you're only playing nine. So you're leaving out six teams. That's a big hunk of the conference. So some of this is going to be schedule-driven. So the thing that I notice is if you were playing Oklahoma in the last 25 years, or we were sitting here out at Media Day and Oklahoma's on your schedule, you'd have to be the underdog.
Yep.
Given. And Texas, with the hype they're going to have, a little bit like Notre Dame or something, you know that you're an underdog going into that game, at least at this point of the year. Well, that isn't in play in the NFL. They don't look around. I mean, they take turns. New England's great. Chiefs are great. But generally, you look at your schedule and say, anybody can beat us, and we can beat anybody. That's what this conference looks like. When Colorado and Arizona State are supposed to be teams that are not great, or a Baylor, you know, what are we talking about here? But there's no Oklahoma and Texas. So any game you play is more like an NFL game. K-State's going to be favored maybe in all of their games. But they are going to be tough games at Tulane, at home against Arizona that aren't even conference games. So I do think things I look forward to, obviously, is to say, hey, I've never been to BYU. I've seen them growing up with Lavelle Edwards. K-State played them in 1996 season in a Cotton Bowl. What a great game it was. K-State lost barely, but you knew the aura of BYU. Well, now I'm finally going to go into their stadium and watch them play football, where Steve Young played, or Detmer, or those kind of things. K-State played them in basketball already, so I got a little bit. But to go there will be a lot of fun. It's an early conference game. I mean, how important is it going to be to be able to go establish yourself against a team like BYU in a tough setting like that, new to K-State's players, altitude issues, and everything else, and say, gosh, we've already played Tulane. We've already played Arizona. No matter how those games turned out, now games count in your nine conference schedule, and you're going to BYU. So I think that's a feature game where you say tons of pressure to go perform early in the season. So that'll be a lot of fun. But I have to start with, you ask me any question about K-State football, I'm going, KU's coming to Manhattan. That's my feature game, right? Yeah. I mean, that I mentioned how much the rivalry means. K-State's won 15 straight times. It is a big deal. K-State fans know being the best team in Kansas is such a big deal. No matter how good or not KU is, and they're going to be good this year, trying to get that 16th straight win, win again in Manhattan. That is the game. Mm-hmm. Back to your old Big 8 question. Valuing that game and in-state rival, that's where it all starts for me.
Did you see the video that was dropped last week of some of the KU football players talking about the K-State-KU rivalry?
No, I have not seen that yet.
And the respect that they put on Manhattan. They said, that's a tough place to go. Yeah. That's a tough place to win. And as much as we want to beat those guys, that's hard to do in Manhattan. And we want it to be hard to do in our new stadium in Lawrence.
Yeah.
And I think it will.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, obviously it's easy if K-Staters hear my voice to know how hard I'm waving the purple flag. You know, there's no doubt about it, and how valuable I think it is to keep that streak going against Kansas, to beat them for the 16th straight time. The fact that K-State's won in Lawrence 8 straight times, all those things. But let's step back for a second, because we're in Vegas and we're in a new conference. I told you how valuable it is that KU and K-State fans, and a lot of KU fans can be listening right now, that we value having that rivalry. And how much do we value, we should be proud as Kansas of those high school kids, and how KU and K-State are playing. As we enter this new 16-team conference, these are predicted to be some of the top teams in the conference. How great is that? I mean, for Kansas fans out there to see their football playing at a high level, when K-State's basketball is up there battling KU and winning games against them, those kind of things. Right now, going into this football season, we shuffled a whole new deck. I mean, Arizona State has no idea what KU is in football, right? And fans don't have a very good idea what UCF is. You know, we still are integrating. Like, BYU and UCF are veterans, and Cincinnati in this conference doesn't seem possible.
Yeah.
We haven't played all of them, and we haven't gone to them. I've not done a game at UCF yet. So, to me, there's so much newness to think that we start out with this respect level going, hey, how about Kansas football? Watch out, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, BYU, UCF, Cincinnati. You don't know much about this conference, but you better take heed of the fact that football has played really well here in the state of Kansas.
I loved your take heed reference, first
oh,
of
wait,
all.
Oh, how about that?
You had to toss that in there.
I didn't mean that. It just came out, and I thought about Allen Fieldhouse and, well, and all of that. So
you said something at last Big 12 Media Days with the 3 Mod Podcast guys, which is just a couple tables down from us, that with the new teams of BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston coming in, it's important as a conference and as a program that when you play these guys, you punch them in the nose, and you take care of business, and you say, welcome to my conference. What
exactly
is that like now with these new Pac-12 teams that are veterans in a Power Four conference, that are moving over, and they want to punch some faces around here because they feel that they deserve that respect as well? What's the importance of that?
Critical. Unbelievable you remembered that. I don't know if did your dad remind you of that?
Nope.
Or no, this is good. No, absolutely. This is such a critical time. Because I'm going to use an agricultural example that I absolutely know. This is not made up. I have been around the hog business. When we weaned, when we weaned hogs from their mamas, we would mix different litters together in a pen of, say, 30, okay? So if you've got an agricultural mentality right now, you put 30 new little piglets together in a pen. Do you know what happens when you put 30 new little piglets in? They battle it out, biting ears or whatever they need to, and determine an order of who's number one all the way to 30. And if the first one wants to eat 3 weeks from now and they're still together, everyone steps out of the way and goes over and eats anytime he wants. So you gotta protect the little ones, right? That's what happens in football. When Nebraska... Hey, can people remember all the way back to when Nebraska was in part of the Big 8 and the Big 12? When we walked in that stadium and you saw that N on their helmets, it was like they had a 10 or 14-point advantage. Yep. We didn't want to think that way, but we walked on the field knowing, boy, it's going to be a big battle today. Why did we think that? Because they were Nebraska. They had those uniforms on. There was a pecking order. Texas intimidated Southwest Conference schools for many years. Guess what happened when they came to the Big 12? K-State knew no better. We just went started beating Texas. And Texas like, no, you're supposed to be scared of us. Right, we don't know anything about this. Yeah. We just started beating Texas, right? What happened to Nebraska when we went to Big Ten? Northwestern walks in the first time with the Wildcat purple on and beats them. Like, no big deal. The intimidation is a big part of it. If you set the tone early in a conference, like, you're not coming to Manhattan to win, the word will get around. So when teams haven't been, like Arizona State, Arizona come to town this year, and UCF last year, if they call the UCF coach and say, hey, what's it like in Manhattan? What do we got to be ready for? Oh, it's going to be so hard, so loud. You're not going to be able to get your signals. It starts getting in the minds. So right now is a perfect time for KU to come up and start making Lawrence a harder place to play. But for K-State, mm-hmm. Oklahoma State, it's right now where we need to say to the rest of the conference, we're the big dogs. 15 years from now, there's going to be someone spoken about. 10 years from now, in this conference, we're going to talk about the power. Ohio State and Michigan, you've heard it your whole life in the Big Ten, right? You've heard about Alabama your whole life in the SEC. We've heard about Oklahoma and Texas our whole life. And 29 years of the Big 12. There's going to be some names that you put in there. Why can't K-State be one of those names? Where 10 years from now, people go, we're not going to beat K-State. I mean, they're going to go undefeated at home because we're going to beat ourselves. And when they walk in our stadium with the purple-clad fans everywhere, it's going to intimidate us, just like Oklahoma, Texas, and Nebraska did back in the day. It's available for whoever takes it. Who's going to take it? UCF, Houston, Arizona, Arizona State? Why not K-State? So it's critical. I'm so glad you remember that because this is year two of that full transition. And if K-State can roll and have a great year, that will make it easier to have a great year next year. And the next year, and if you do that for 5 years or so, it'll be the most intimidating place in the whole conference. When ESPN gets on College Game Day on television, they're going to say, you know, watch out, Michigan, Ohio State's going to win the conference this year. And, oh, yeah, K-State's likely to win the conference again this year unless something crazy happened. Why not substitute our name for Oklahoma? It's available.
Yeah. You've teed up my next question, then I'll turn it back over to Adam. Yeah. But my next question is, Kansas, is it going to be the state that the Big 12 runs through? It used to be Oklahoma. For a time, it was Texas. Nebraska. Now it's Kansas.
Central. It's central. So location-wise, you got a chance. Kansas City, I live there, does an amazing job of running the Big 12 tournament. No one can match our volunteer group. Forget the arena. The arena's fine. Fans come to the game. The enthusiasm's outrageously good. There's no reason why the Big 12 basketball tournament should ever leave Kansas City. But the volunteers that help make this go, they're getting ready for the World Cup in a couple years. They'll kill it. They know how to do this stuff. It could be the central spot. All you got to do is put the winning together and win in basketball and win in football. And where do you look at this wide-ranging conferences from sea to shining sea? Oh, right here's the middle. Kansas City's the tournament site. There's no reason why we can't be that. But you got to go out and prove it on the field. That's the great thing. Talk's cheap. Football's so physical. You got to go out and do it. TCU at this time last year, if you remember other things that were going on here, I don't know if you remember this, but TCU was walking around with their chest puffed out so hard and their head couldn't fit in a helmet because they played in a national championship game the year before. And they thought with this new coach, Sonny Dykes, this is going to be easy. You know, we are going to be pushing Texas aside. Yeah. And they're going to be leaving the conference. They had an unbelievable confidence that this was their setting the tone. And they didn't even make a bowl game last year. That's how easy you can slip, how competitive it is. So we can't take anything for granted. Let's go out and perform. But the big part of this is the fans. Fans, you have a big part of it. When I went to Lincoln, Nebraska and played and saw that sea of red, that's what people see when they come to K-State. And Kansas, when they get their new stadium, if they come and fill that place up, Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
They dictate. The fans are a big part of this, both with their showing up and being a part of it, hopefully listening a lot on the radio, but being there to support their players and then supporting their players during the other 52 weeks of the year. This is a big deal because social media is available, so people can get their message out right now today. Hey, love this, love that. Don't be cocky. Be confident, be supportive, and that is what the Kansas players, we started this interview talking about the Kansas players bringing that to the campus. The Kansas fans
K-State fans, KU fans, the people of Kansas need to bring that same mentality to social media. These players read it. Show that you support them and you expect great things. Not negatively, positively. We expect you're good enough to go out and win. Fight, work together, and you do that, you're unlike any fan base in the country. Because what are they doing? Taking shots.
Yeah.
Not all of them. But, you know, if I told you 10 compliments, if I showed you right now social media and showed you guys 10 compliments and then showed you one negative, you know what would win the day?
The one
the negative one would cut you right to the heart.
Yep.
And the food wouldn't taste good here in a little bit. You wouldn't be like, did I really do that wrong? And, gosh, I didn't mean to say that on the air. If we can be positive but with high expectations and show up to the games, listen on the radio a lot, take your radio to the game and listen. Turn your sound down on your TV. I hear a lot of people may do that.
Yep.
Pretty cool. No, the fans do have a big influence. The positivity of Kansans in general needs to carry over to the field houses, the stadiums, and we do that, you're going to help these players. Possibly, we got a chance to be the dominant factors of the new Big 12. Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Stan, as you mentioned about taking the radios to games a year ago, you and Colby were competing against each other. Broadcast.
No, told you he was
No. I never said that.
I brought it up. I
love talking to the younger guys. And hopefully there's some benefit from the great learning experience. Yeah. How about K-State and other schools allowing college students to go out there and get a chance to do it?
It didn't used to be that way. Yeah. So it's cool that it is now.
No, so we get along great. I don't think of it as competition.
I'm just kidding, no.
But as long as Colby thinks I'm doing okay. Maybe he can give me the advice now.
I sit at the feet, that's it.
But no, I was going to ask real quick about Kansas State. You know, this is a team, they're picked second. Utah and them are right now at the top two, but it just feels like that what Coach Klieman's been able to do, and we've seen it maybe over the last 3 years more, this is probably one of his deepest teams he's had since he's been there.
No doubt. He's latched on to a post-COVID philosophy of how he wants things done, and he's just followed it, and he's added kids that fit into that. He's even got transfers to fit in, but his recruiting classes have really been strong. And it's super exciting and really counter to everything that you hear in college football. He keeps mentioning, like, the depth of this team. There are a number of freshmen who last year played just a little bit. You could play four games and even a bowl game and not have your eligibility used, still have 4 years to play. But those guys didn't get on the field that much. They really are good. So they don't have to be counted on as starters, but they're going to get in the rotation. They're going to be backups, and we're developing for the future. So when you look at the linebacking core, the defensive linemen, the offensive linemen, all new starters almost, really. I mean, you could argue that you have a whole new starting group. But you look at the depth. We have two and even three deep who are going to be in a battle for playing time. So that's what he's just tried to do, is just to say, let's be a team. Let's add depth. No injury should hold us back. We're not relying upon one player. We're a team. And we're going to hear all about these Kansas kids like DJ Giddens and Avery Johnson. And why wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. Edwards transfer. Why wouldn't we? I'm telling you, a lot of defensive players have come back. And Lewisburg's Austin Moore is Mr. Reliable. He's such a valuable player. So I'm excited about the returners on defense and then the possibilities of what all those new guys on offense can do. I believe in them, but I actually think the defense is more established and ready to roll early in the year.
And that's fascinating because the general consensus among the media is the opposite, in that it's the kind of younger, chippier offense that's going to dominate, and the defense, they always seem to have a question mark in the secondary that then miraculously fixes itself after the first couple of games. Why do you feel that way in that difference?
Well, like three nose tackles rotated through. Those guys are going to step up their game. Mott's back. Stuffel being back at defensive ends. And then I'm telling you, we got these younger guys who are really ready to play and athletic. So first of all, you say your defensive line. Then you look at the linebacking core. Austin Moore is a big fit. He's the biggest recruit K-State got. Bigger than Edwards coming as a transfer coming in. Bigger than any freshman getting here. That six-year senior who knows exactly what needs to be done and can make big plays and is reliable is so important. But the corners, hey, how about college football when you got lockdown corners? K-State's got him. Parrish is so good. You don't know how great he is. He's good, but he is on his way to being an NFL guy. Echo Boydo's with the Kansas City Chiefs. He stuck with the team, right?
Yes, sir.
Brents played with the Colts last year. Well, here you got another guy coming. And then Keenan Garber is super fast and now established. So the corners are so solid. The safeties
Hey, Coach Kleiman's a safeties coach. Coach Klanderman's a safeties coach. They create magic back there. But Marquise Siegel, those guys are there. A lot of players. I just think the depth, and you're only as good as your weakest link. Okay? Where are you going to attack K-State's defense? I think they're solid, and our system is more developed. They went 3-3-5, which was not in their DNA. And they did an amazing job of throwing that out against Stanford a few years ago, right? But now we're getting intricacies to where everyone knows exactly what adjustments need to be made in the 3-3-5, and mostly that's with the coaching staff. They now know where the next level of development is. We're not cycling through and doing what North Carolina State helped teach us. We're not trying to replicate what Iowa State did so well in the Big 12, introducing that 3-3-5. Mm-hmm. We have K-State's defense. And with Kleiman and Klanderman and Van Malone, we are getting so intricate in that thing. So I just respect the fact that this isn't easy. A lot of people think it's easy. It's not going to be easy for Avery. I've been there. Where everyone padded. I was my first start, Big 8 Player of the Week against number one Nebraska. Everyone thought it was easy. It isn't easy. And that doesn't mean I'm not excited about Avery. I just know it's hard work, game after game, the physicality, the things that they're going to try to do to stop you. And the offensive lineman, you can't just walk out there and say everything's fine. It takes all five guys plus the tight ends to be a blocking unit. It's just you got to give them some time. I really think the upside of where this team will be, there's unlimited excellence this year on offense. So I'm as excited as everyone else is. But that's like my grandma making the best pie ever. Don't pull it out of the oven before she says it's time.
Yeah.
You know, and wait for Coach Kleiman to say this offensive line has come together and Avery's humming at a new level and introducing these receivers. So I just think the defense is more reliable right now, something you can lean on, because you better get ready to roll because you're going to Tulane game two. You're playing Arizona, who beat Oklahoma in the bowl game last year with a superstar quarterback. So we're going to have to play at a high level week after week after week. Maybe favorites all year, but you can't let down. And I think it starts with great defense this year, and then we'll wait for that offense to percolate and explode at some point.
Yeah. This, you've been so gracious with your time, and I don't want to forsake any of that. And I have one last question that I'm going to ask. And it's partially a fan service, but it's partially I want to put a different spin on a question that I'm sure you've been asked over and over and over about. You know, oh, you've had a career as both a player and a commentator, favorite memory. I don't want your favorite memory because it was good. I want your favorite memory because it was K-State, because that was a K-State memory. And you look back and you say to yourself, I fumbled the ball on that play, but we recovered it and ran it for a touchdown, and that's K-State. I don't know. I don't know what that might be.
Well, I got to do one first. I'll do one personally, okay? And then I'll get to more K-State. Because it's nice to be a part of K-State. I was a part of it, okay? So my first game ever, I started against Nebraska. They're number one in the country. I ran for more yards than any K-Stater ever had against Nebraska, but we lost. Okay, so that does not go into check mark of, you know, the greatest memories. Next week, we went to Oklahoma State. Jimmy Johnson was the head coach at OSU.
Okay.
And I had my one chance in my whole career to get the football in a late game situation. We're down by six. We get the ball at our own 22-yard line with a couple minutes left in the game. And we drove down and scored a touchdown against OSU and won the ball game. So to win at Oklahoma State against Jimmy Johnson and drive the team down the field and go win that game after I'd thrown an interception or two. You know, I had my stinky plays. But to just overcome that and take K-State and all my friends to go win that game against OSU, I knew how great Jimmy Johnson was going to be and how hard it was. It's always hard to win there. So that was it. But when for K-State, I think one of the high, if I just have to pick one moment, it would be when we went to the Fiesta Bowl and played against a Syracuse team loaded with NFL stars, Donovan McNabb and others. I don't have time to name, like five or six first-round pick guys. Syracuse was so good. But there was a giant snowstorm at Syracuse, and it's a long ways away to get to Phoenix. K-State fans were packing the place. To see a bowl site where it's almost all K-State fans and to watch Michael Bishop in 1997, not the 1998 version, this was the precursor on December 31st, 1997, when K-State went off. And it wasn't easy. Syracuse was in the game,
and K-State had to fight and keep going. And Darnell McDonald went crazy with 200 yards receiving, and Michael Bishop outplayed McNabb to see us on a national stage better than Syracuse, pulling away at the end, and our fans purple and acting like being a dominant force in college football is not new. Okay, I loved 91, 93, 94, 95, 96, but in 97, we'd been good for a long time. We finished in 1995 ranked in the top 10. You realize that?
Yeah.
So we've been there, and yet we proved it with all the pressure on. Everyone knew we were good, and Syracuse was unbelievable, and we whipped them, and it was a highlight reel of plays, and that's a precursor. Like, watch out, 1998. Here comes the Cats with Michael Bishop. So it was his coming out party. So I'd have to say that one because the fight, the national stage, and everything was there, and Michael Bishop took his game a whole few notches up.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many people remember that. There's plenty of other ones, like championships and beating OU in 03. Oh, yeah. That's what you're supposed to say that, right? In Arrowhead, Darren Sproles. I love it. But the coming out party in 97 to say, you might be looking at the best football team in the country, and we were ranked number one for part of 98 with that group.
Yeah.
That was the stage that set – exploded us onto another level.
I just remember that game, the tight end screen. That was that was such a huge player. It was a throwback, actually.
Yeah, roll out to the left, throw it to the right. Great blocking, 25-yard touchdown. And the voice, I mentioned Mitch Holtis, and mentioned Wyatt Thompson because he and I have done more games together than anybody by far because of my 38 years, 38th coming up. He'll be in his 23rd. And I do tons of basketball games with him because I've been doing K-State, all of K-State's basketball games for 20 years. So that's, you know, the current situation. But Greg Sharp was in there for 6 years, a K-State grad, and he is battling cancer. He's the voice of the Huskers. I just went and visited him. It is so much fun to say that he was with me in the booth in 97. He was there for the 11 win seasons. And sometimes he gets lost in the shuffle with a great Mitch Holtis, Hall of Famer and Sports Hall of Fame at K-State, Kansas City Chiefs play-by-play legend. My first 9 years, he taught me, but he's also teaching Greg at the same time. He was a sideline reporter, did work in Topeka, and Greg Sharp was a big part of this as well. His 6 years were incredible with the elite football that we were playing. So good to say, I didn't make it up because of Greg, but he is so much in my heart right now. Please pray for a superstar K-State legend, Greg Sharp.
Yep. You know, and it's my broadcasting career is right at its very beginning, but I listen to Mitch Holtis because I'm a Chiefs fan, and so I get to hear Mitch every Sunday. I'm friends with Wyatt, and he's been an unbelievable mentor to me in a tough time in my life, but I think Greg Sharp is the one that I go and I listen to the film. I'm like, I want to hear that. That's that energy. That's what I personally strive for as a broadcaster. And so I'd love to meet the guy. I don't know if I'll ever get the chance to.
I hope you do.
I would really love to.
A better human being than broadcaster.
Yeah.
But he is everything great about K-State. Grew up in Kansas. His wife, Amy, was the lead host on the NBC News at 27 in Topeka for a long time. They got married. And my wife and I and Greg and Amy, when we were going to these bowl trips, we were just four inseparable people that it was so much fun because I was kind of the established guy already. Mitch had, I did 9 years and here comes Greg in. So even though he's more of a professional broadcaster than me, he was like, okay, what about this? What about that? We were just, and he was newly married to Amy and all that stuff. Anyway, he's fighting cancer right now. He's been public with that. It's not easy. I hope he gets to do the Nebraska games, but man, it was so special to be able to go up and see him. A couple of weeks. Ben Boyle, who does the Learfield stuff for K-State and is the play-by-play voice on the television third-tier games when Ben and I do TV for K-State basketball, that's Ben Boyle. Uh-huh. He's the one to organize this whole thing for us to go visit Greg.
Oh, awesome.
So it was awesome.
That's awesome. I've been asking these questions to everybody all day, and they're little gimmies that I think are fun and elicit great reactions that I've enjoyed so far. And I'm going to leave our interview today with this question for you. Pineapple on pizza, yay or nay?
I'll go no.
Why?
Well, pineapple seems like a Vegas or California thing. I'm all out Kansas. Beef and pork, baby. A lot of beef and pork.
on my pizzas. So
okay.
I'm gonna go there.
Cool. Stan, your time has been invaluable. You've been very gracious with it. And, I mean, I'll be listening every game that I have the opportunity to.
Well, tell
I'll
your
be
dad
listening.
Hi for me, and thanks for all the years he listened. And
I will.
And all the people out there listening to us now, I mean, we just appreciate so much that we can hopefully bring you a little enjoyment of bringing you these K-State games. It's an honor, and I'm so glad we went through COVID. We were at every site. Mm-hmm. We never awesome. Missed a game at a site. So my 445 straight games are there in the stadium where it should be, and I can't wait to kick it off this year.
It's going to be exciting.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you.